Everybody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's bless the name of our God. He alone deserves our glory and he deserves our praise. He's worthy of our worship and our honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us today. You are here in this room, and those of you that are online, we're so thankful to God for this opportunity to celebrate this entire season of our Lord's sacrifice for us. His death, his resurrection, his love, everything that he's done for us. Amen. We feel that glorious presence of the Lord already. Amen. You heard all the announcements, all the things that the Lord's directing us to do, so I do encourage you. I know it's a whole lot at once in one Sunday, but we really did our best with that. So if you have any questions, you are not sure, just reach out to any of our pastors. All the pastors have all the information. Any of our deaconesses, they all have all the information. So do your best, like Pastor Tinu said earlier, do your best with all those three major things. Amen. Do your best and let's be a part of this season of opportunity and give. Amen. And give whatever food you can gather as we head out to the food bank next week. Put it together. Amen. We don't see the faces of the people that we receive, but we will see them in heaven. Amen. Of course, also, if you're able to give financially, because we do have a goal, and I think we will surpass that goal, but let's make plans to do that. And then invite somebody. Amen. It's going to be a glorious service. Yes. We're going to celebrate the love of our Savior. Amen. It's a love feast and a love service. Amen. We're just going to be celebrating his love for us. We have so much to be thankful for. Yes. God's been so good to us. And it's all rooted, deeply embedded in the love of God. Everything that we enjoy in our lives today is all an offshoot of the love of God. So when we get together for Easter, for Resurrection Day service, let's celebrate that love. Amen. Amen. And then, of course, the final thing is the love feast. So, bring your best and let's break bread together as a family and let's enjoy God's presence. Amen. Amen. We can download things to invite people. This is one service you should definitely go out of your way to invite someone to. You can send out one of those digital flyers that will be going out from tomorrow. Remember, this is what we are called to do. Abundant Life International Church, just as I have looked at it over the years, and especially this year, I just feel very much the Lord is calling us to go out. We've taken so much. We've taken so much, right? We're word people. We're Holy Spirit led. We're faith people. We've taken so much. And we will keep taking because the word of God is available to us. That's our manna, our daily, weekly manna. But now the Lord is counting on us to go out. There's just a world out there that is suffering. Even when people tell you they are believers, even when they tell you they are Christians, they go to church, don't let that faze you. Don't stop there. I guarantee you, and just this year alone, so many people that the Lord has brought across our path who go to church, but really just don't. They don't have the gospel. They don't have the word. They don't have the life, the Zoe life of God. And God is sending us out there to share it with them. There's enough messages in this out of this pulpit. You yourself can be a preacher of one of those messages. You just need to be loaded with the word yourself and then just offload, right? Questions that people have asked me of this year alone. There's a lot of people who are very committed to churches, but some of the questions they've asked me and I have to shut my mind from thinking that they go to church. Because sometimes I wonder, so what do you get in your church? What are you listening to? Right? Because some of these fundamental things of the gospel, which will make a difference in people's lives. Amen? So I encourage you, let's be God's missionaries. Let's take the word out and let's share the manna. And the Lord will bless us. He'll remember us and he'll bless us. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
All right, where are we at? 12:18. All right, let's do our confession. I was tempted to skip the confession so I could minister without rushing, but I'm going to go with the Holy Spirit here. Let's take our 2026 confession together and spend a little bit of time in the Word. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. All right, 2, 3, go. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, passover, take over, make over, do over, walk over, and fly over year in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He neither faints nor is weary. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. There is no one like the God of Israel who rides across the heavens to help me. The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath me are his everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before me, and he will say, destroy. I am helped, favored, and blessed. The Lord is my saving strength and the shield of my life. My help comes from him who made heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to slip or be moved. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord preserves me from all evil. In my going out and my coming in, he is my protective shade and my covenant covering. I sit fearlessly and confidently at the throne of God's unmerited favor, and I soak up his mercy and grace. Praise God, I am helped, favored, and blessed. This is my year of the incredible. My incredible praise to my incredible God is provoking incredible miracles in my life. Strange things, remarkable things, extraordinary things, astonishing things, and unimaginable things are all lined up for me in this season. The story and glory of my life today will be improbable, amazing, unthinkable, and uncommon. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 2026 is my year of nonstop laughter, celebrations unlimited, unending festivities, and round-the-clock jubilation. Adversity will expire, and I will recover. God will have the last laugh and the final say. I'm laughing today, tomorrow, and the day after. Look what the Lord has done. There is no expiration on his promise now. Sorrow is destroyed. Failure is forgotten. Anxiety is vanquished. Fear is defeated. Setback is sent back. Bad news is stale news. Satan is conquered. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, laugh with me. In this season, it's shifting and there is a lifting up for me. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. And he sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. He's shifting and there is a lifting up for me. God said, he's giving me treasures. hidden in the darkness and secret places of the earth. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From bitter waters in Marah to pleasant streams in Elim. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From forsaken to Hephzibah. From rejected to Beulah. Is shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From beggar to ruler, from loner to owner, from supplanter to contender. In this season, is shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my year of vision shift and generational shift. I see the invisible, and I do the impossible. This is my season of opportunity and open doors. I give my bread to the hungry, and I offer hope to the hopeless. I am anointed to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort the afflicted, and to set the captives free. The spirit of sacrifice is upon my life. I say yes to your way and yes to your will. My Father, I choose you as my priority, and I make you my destiny. I receive the sweet fragrance of heaven over my life today. The plague is stopped, the curse is broken, and my bloodline is redeemed forever. Hallelujah. I speak life. Lazarus, come forth. I speak life to you. Dry bones, come alive. I speak life to every part of my body and my mind. Come alive. I speak life to you. Cells, vessels, nerves, tissues, organs, systems, limbs, and joints. Come alive in Jesus' mighty name. I speak life to you. Dreams, womb, ventures, investments, treasures, properties, ministry, family, partnerships. Come alive in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, speak life. I speak life over God's people, over God's purposes, God's vision, and everything that concerns us. Hallelujah. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, passover, take over, make over, do over, walk over, and fly over year. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Shout a living amen. Hallelujah. Please go ahead and be seated. Amen. Just want to thank God very much for Pastor Stella, who ministered to us during last Sunday's ALO. That was such a powerful message. Glory to God. Eternal God, our refuge. What an amazing word, a reminder of how powerful, how gracious, how merciful, how faithful our Father is. God bless you, Pastor Stella, and God continually increase you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's go together to Matthew chapter 21 as we celebrate this season. Started with the Lord Jesus Christ riding on a donkey into heaven, into Jerusalem. And then being led down to Golgotha, first in the garden, and then put on the cross with so much pain inflicted on him. With every drop of blood that flowed out of his veins, he was thinking about us. If we had a Good Friday service, that's when we will really take the time to read about those scriptures that just talk about how they led him, how they mocked him, how they spat on him, how they whipped him. Glory to God. But we don't have a Good Friday service, so Just be reminded, we do have a Wednesday midweek service, so we'll read some of those scriptures on Wednesday. It was all a sacrifice of love. Amen. But it started on this day in Matthew 21 from verse 1. And when they drew near unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two of his disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man says anything to you, you will say, the Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. Verse 4. And this was done so that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming unto you, meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Where was this prophecy, by the way? Zechariah chapter 9. And verse 9 is where it was prophesied. Verse 6. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set Jesus thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees. They strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, 2 days after this incident, you follow the journey of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went from here, went into the temple, and he drove out people that were buying and selling in the temple, who were desecrating his temple, using it as an object of financial profit and gain, rather than the original intention of the Lord. And for a moment, we didn't see Jesus as a Jesus of love. For a moment, we saw a different side of Jesus. How many of you know God is all-encompassing? Yes. We ought to see different sides of God at different times in our lives. Yes. I don't know about you. Depending on what's going on and what I need in my life at each point in time, that's what I want God to show. Amen.
Amen.
I don't want a sloppy agape when I need to be rebuked and corrected. Somebody says, oh, Pastor, love is always, love is always loving, but sometimes love chastises.
Yes.
Sometimes love rebukes and love corrects. Sometimes love even uses that's right, the rod of correction. Just don't do it abusive.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't respond in anger. Don't lose your temper and say the wrong thing. Because God doesn't lose his temper. Even when God corrects us in love, he never loses his temper doing it. Right? Hallelujah. He's always very calculating. Glory to God. So we see Jesus in the temple driving out all of these people. And then from there, he went on. And 2 days after this experience with the donkey and them singing Hosanna and all of that, this is when he taught some of the most remarkable things that he taught regarding faith in God. He saw a fig tree, and he expected to get some fruit off of the fig tree, and there was no fruit on it, so he spoke to the fig tree. And when he and the disciples were coming back, The disciples saw that the fig tree was dried up. Let's pick it up from verse 19. Yeah, verse 18. Now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only. And he said unto the tree, let no fruit grow on you henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Verse 20. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Verse 21. And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you will say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. It shall be done. Hallelujah. Verse 22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, if you believe, you shall receive. Whew. Whew. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, if you just flip over to Mark 11, we have a similar narration of these incidences in the life of Christ at this point on his journey in Mark chapter 11. Of course, we just read the same account in Matthew 21, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll just read verse 1 so you remember where we read in Matthew 21. When they came near to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples. And you know what happened. Now, the day after, in verse 12, on the morrow, the following day, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, peradventure he might find anything thereon. And when he came and found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not, Jesus answered and said unto him, no man eat fruit of you thereafter. And his disciples heard it. Now you know what happened. Fig tree died up, dried up. And in verse 20, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, what? Have faith in God. Now, I know some of, if you've heard teachings on more contemporary teachings on faith in more recent times, you've heard that verse of scripture is more accurately translated, have the faith of God. And that's awesome. But there's just something I want to point out to you here. Thank you, Moriah, for helping us today. If you will put that scripture up, Mark 11, verse 22, put that up for me in the Amplified version. Just that verse in the Amplified. Look at what it says. And I want you to look at a word that stands out to me right here. And Jesus replying said unto them, have faith in God. How? How long? Constant. Temporarily?
Constantly.
Once in a while?
Constantly.
Just a few hours of the day?
Constantly.
One day in the week?
Constantly.
Let's read this together, everybody. And Jesus replying said unto them, have faith in God constantly. Somebody say the word with me. Constantly. Say that word again. Constantly. Say one more time. Constantly. What does the word constantly mean?
Always.
Just when you are young?
No.
When you are still broke and praying for breakthrough?
No.
When you are just a young believer in Christ? Because after you become a Jim Christian, you don't really need faith anymore. Right? No, there was a time when people heard a scripture like this, and they heard a message that was encouraging them to have faith in God. There was a time they just caught fire at such a message. You couldn't keep them sitting down. They were so excited about it. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Like if you are broke, have faith in God for prosperity. If you are sick, have faith in God for healing. If you are believing for a job, have faith in God for a job. If you want to move forward in life, have faith in God for promotion. There was a time when we heard scriptures like that and we were just so excited because we were in a place where we needed faith to do a work for us. Unfortunately, so many people come to a place in their lives where they don't realize they still need faith to work. But they get fat. They get fat sitting in one spot. They are accomplished. They've achieved all their dreams. It's like, I don't really need much faith anymore. If I need money, I just take a loan. If I'm sick, I call my insurance company and my doctor. If the children are running a fever, I go to the medicine cabinet. When I need opportunity, I need doors to be opened. I think, who do I know? I know many people in different places. Well, let me call, get one of them, pull up my phone and pull up those contacts. But there was a time when you didn't know anyone. And whenever you needed a door open, the first thing that occurred to you, God! 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 If you don't open this door will never be opened. God, if you don't do something about this situation will never change. God, if you don't show up, we are doomed forever, God. There was a time you thought like that. There was a time we all thought like that. And I pray for you as I pray for myself every day that you do not outgrow that place of simple childlike faith, that place of believing that prayer still works, that place of believing that God is still a supernatural God, that place of believing that doors can still open of their own accord when a man of faith arises and speaks to him. Let's go complete this. Verse 23. Let's go back to the King James. Thank you. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says will come to pass, he will have whatsoever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, oh God,
What things soever you desire. What things soever you desire. When you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. Believe what? That you receive them, and then what would happen? You will have them. You will have them. You will have them. I say you will have them. Glory to God. Glory to God. We don't outgrow faith. But we engage faith constantly. See, I love that scripture. Where whosoever will say unto this mountain, I love that. We don't outgrow faith. Faith, Jesus described, is like a seed. Would you please put up Luke 17, verse 5 and 6? Let's read verse 5 first. Faith is like a mustard seed. Anyone can use their faith. Anyone. Because we all have a little measure of faith that we can use. As we use the measure of faith that we have, it could start out as a mustard seed. Mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds that exist in the world. It could start out as a mustard seed. But when you engage it and use it, it grows. Amen. So you don't outgrow faith, but you grow faith.
Amen.
When you use the faith that you have, which starts out as a small mustard seed, when you put it in the ground and use it, that faith will grow. I love it. I love what the Lord said. Look at verse 6. So the disciples, you see, go back to verse 5. The disciples said, increase our faith. And Jesus said, this is how you increase your faith. You see, verse 5, the apostles said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. Because he was telling them to do something, and they thought that thing was so big. How can we do this? How can we do this? And in verse 6, the Lord told them how to grow their faith. How to grow their faith. Don't tune me out now. Don't put under your religious face. Stay with me. I had just a few more minutes to go here, because before I stop talking. But I need you to stay with me. Don't turn on your religious face now. Put on your nose in the air. No. Stay with me in the spirit, amen. So something the Holy Spirit might want to give to you here, just before we close. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said to them, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea. And what would happen? It will obey you. It will obey you. Now, I want to tell you something. As I close, I'm going to read a few of my notes here before my second alarm comes up. I just snoozed it, so I'm going to run through this. But I already said the most important thing I needed to say in this service anyways. When you start off on your walk with the Lord, when you start off on your journey, that mustard seed faith that you have, that you use to move a sycamore tree or something that appears to you as a mountain at the time. If you use that mustard seed faith, and you use it for that at that time, that mustard seed faith will grow and become bigger. The next time you need to use your faith, it will no longer be mustard seed faith. It would have grown.
Yes.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
It would have grown.
Yes, sir.
So that means the next time you need to move an object, the object you need to move will not be the same size as the original object you moved with your faith.
Yes.
You know, hey, Lord, just give me a job. I believe you for it. You start believing. I believe you got the job. your faith grew, with your mustard seed faith, your faith grew. The next time, you will not be asking for that job or a similar job. Holy Spirit. What was to you a mountain 3 years ago is no longer a mountain today.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
When I look back on my journey, I don't even want to go all the way back 20 years, 25, 30, 35, 40. I just want to think 3 years. What seemed to me like a great mountain 3 years ago, I've gone back to look at every single one of them. 3 years, only 3 years ago. They are all leveled out.
Amen.
I'm very comfortable in all of them. I'm walking over all of them right now. Just 3 years, not 15, not 20, not 30.
Yeah.
But I found out that the Lord has ushered me on this path where there are some bigger mountains now. The mountains from 3 years ago, I moved them with my faith. I'm walking over them, I'm living in them, I'm enjoying glory to God. But I found out, as destiny is calling, there are some bigger mountains now. And the faith that moved the small mountain 3 years ago will not move this big mountain. It's too small. That faith has to grow. That faith from 3 years ago has to have grown to the place where when I meet this new huge challenge standing in front of me, I know where to go. My faith in God. But that faith is no longer mustard seed faith because I have grown it, or I am supposed to have grown it. What's happening to many believers? They don't grow it. They get the job. They get the house. They get excited. They get complacent. They are satisfied. So when they confront this new giant or this new mountain, they say, I just won't even mess with you. I'm just tired. Just you stay where you are. And so they're not moving. Child of God, God wants you to move forward.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
God wants you to move some new mountains now.
Yes.
There are some big giants now. They are bigger than the ones you dealt with 3 years ago. God has some new mountains. There are some new challenges. And you just can't sing your way out of this. You can't preach your way out of it. Don't you know that 3 years ago, I used my faith and we moved them. He can't do it. It doesn't work. Bishop T.D. Jakes, who used to say, a new level, a new devil.
Yeah.
This devil is stronger than anyone you have ever dealt with in your life.
Yeah.
This opposition is bigger. But what's the good news? Go back to that scripture in Mark 11, 22. Have faith in God constantly. Say it again. Have faith in God
constantly.
Every day.
Constantly.
Every day. Keep growing. Keep walking. Hallelujah. Keep rising. Keep lifting. Don't settle. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's read a couple of these notes. We celebrate the life, the kingdom, the authority, the dominion, the humility, the love, the sacrifice of our Messiah Jesus, and all he came to do for us in this season.
Amen.
Jesus played an active role in the fulfillment of the prophecy concerning him. Did you notice? When he sent those two disciples, to go and get him a donkey. And then the Bible says, so that it may be fulfilled as it was written. Did you notice those scriptures?
Yes, sir.
So what was going on here? Jesus was aware some things were written. Some things have been written. And we are in that season. And Jesus didn't say, oh, those things that were written will just happen automatically. No. He played an active role. He played an active role in the fulfillment of the things that were written. Concerning him, God always needs humans to play an active role in the fulfillment of prophecy.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You must play an active role in the fulfillment of the words that God has spoken concerning you. Quickly, put up for me 1 Timothy 1:18. Quickly. Look at what Paul said to Timothy. Remember, you must engage. He says you must wage a warfare. Look at this. This charge and admonition. I put it in the King James. I think that's shorter, but that's better for me now. I'm rushing for time. This charge, thank you, Moriah. This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that went before on you, that by them you might wage a good warfare. So there is no word that was spoken concerning you or over you that would just by itself happen. You must play an active role in that word coming to pass. What's your example from Palm Sunday? It was written in Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus came that there will be a donkey. He will ride on a donkey into Jerusalem. When the time came, Jesus didn't say, where is the donkey? Where is the donkey? Donkey should come. No. He called his disciples, go and get me a donkey. Because you are supposed to play an active role in the fulfillment of the words that have been spoken concerning you. Just ignore that sound. I'm not going to snooze it. Let's see while I finish this up. This is so crucial. Do you remember what Mary said? It was Mary who said it in Luke 1:37. Remember? Put that up for me, please. In the Amplified, Luke 1:37. This music is very good for the message, so don't worry, just ignore it, okay? For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Okay, so the word of God that was spoken concerning you already has sufficient power for fulfillment. However, you must engage that one. Now, go forward to verse 45, was that same scripture. This is Elizabeth now who is saying, and blessed is she who believes, because there will be a fulfillment of the things that were spoken to her from the Lord. Notice, blessed is she who believed. In the King James, put that in the King James, so there will be a performance. But the key to that performance is your believing. The word of God will not come to pass just by itself. There must be believing before there is performance. There must be believing before there is performance. Okay, I think we can keep you quiet now. Hallelujah. I'm about to stop. You must engage with that word. You must position yourself with that word. You must actively engage your faith in God for the fulfillment of that word. When God speaks a word to you, that word is got the power of fulfillment, but you must play a role. We learned this on Palm Sunday. Jesus said, go get me a donkey. It was written hundreds of years ago, but I need you to bring me that donkey so we can get that word fulfilled.
Amen.
You have to play an active role in the fulfillment of the word that God spoke to you. You can't sit back and say, oh, let it happen. If it is God's will, it will happen anyway. If it is not God's will, it won't happen anyway. You must play an active role.
Yes.
Amen. You must keep your faith active. The mustard seed faith you used 3 years ago is not good enough anymore. That's why you must position yourself by the word of God. for the fulfillment of his promises. Hallelujah. Faith, I like this. In every season of life, in the highs and in the lows of life, in the mountain seasons and in the valley seasons, you must keep on believing. In every season of life, in the highs and in the lows, in the mountains and in the valleys, you must keep on believing.
Amen.
There was no difference between how much Jesus believed when he walked on water versus when how he believed when he was hanging on the cross. There was no difference. He was hanging on the cross and they were beating him and they were assaulting him, spitting on him, cursing him out. But Jesus didn't have less faith on that cross. In the highs and in the lows. And finally, recognize the missing link between God's plans for you and the future that you will engage is your faith. Faith is what makes reality today what was spoken yesterday. Keep on believing.
Amen.
Believe on Sunday. Believe on Monday.
Amen.
Believe in the good times.
Amen.
Believe when the times are not so good. Believe when it feels like you just got an answer to your prayers. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
But believe when it looks like every door is shut against you.
Amen.
Keep on believing. Don't you ever give up your believing.
Amen.
Don't you ever quit on your believing.
Amen.
Don't you ever stop believing. Because your faith in God will make a reality eventually every word that God spoke concerning you. Please stand to your feet. In the good times and in the not so good times, my friends, it's very easy to believe in the good times. When miracles are happening, when we find favor, when doors are opening, rapid promotion, accelerated increase, faith sometimes can be easy. But when God said to Pharaoh through Moses, "Let my people go," and Moses went to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, "No." And he said, "No," over a period of time, 13 times. 13 times. Faith can become weary. When Elijah said to his servant, "I hear the sign," said to the king, "I hear a sound of abundance of rain." And then he sent to his servant, "Go and look." And the servant came back. He looked and he came back and he said, "Master, there is nothing." He did it 6 times. And Elijah could have just said, "Forget it. I guess I didn't hear God right." You know, we're all human. Sometimes we make a mistake. Or the servant could say, Master, I'm tired of going to check. Faith can be tried. Faith can be tested. But regardless of where you are, keep on. Keep on believing. Constantly. Constantly. Let that be your identity. I'm a believer. Everywhere you show up, every time you show, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I believe. I believe God. I believe God. Do you believe God, child of God? Make it your resolve. I believe God. That is the hallmark of people that make it to the finish line. I believe God. I believe God. In the highs and the lows, on the mountains and in the valleys, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We bless your name. Our confidence in you is heightened in this season. As we approach this celebration of what our Lord and Savior did for us. How he took the pain. How he suffered the hardship. How he endured the affliction. The hardness. How they spilled his blood. His sacrifice. And through every moment of that journey, he didn't change his identity. We embrace the character of Jesus today, the grace and the strength that flows from the cross of Calvary. The grace to stand, not only in the good times, but also in the not so good times. The grace to hold on to our confession of faith, our profession of what we believe. We know it was Job who said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And yet you never slay us. You love us. You love us. We embrace that character of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, God. I pray, Father, for your strength, supernatural strengthening grace on all of your people in this season. Everyone, everyone under the sound of my voice. That as we celebrate you, the world will celebrate us. There will be evidence of the promises that you have made concerning us. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We magnify your name. We lift you up and we adore you. Receive the glory. Receive the praise, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said amen. Come on, say living amen. Glory to God.